Welcome to the Dork Forest. Jackie and her pals will never bore us. Shameless confessions
about our obsessions
will make us laugh and smile. So let's explore the Dork Forest and dork out for a while.
Hi, this is Jackie Cation, and you are about to listen to the Dork Forest since 2006. And it is on iTunes, of course, where you may have received it. You may have gotten it at dorkforest.com. Feel free to review it on iTunes. We are part of the All Things Comedy Network, allthingscomedy.com, where my new hour special, This Will Make an Excellent Horcrux, is available for $5 download. Knock yourselves out. My website, JackieCation.com, has a player if you want to just listen to it and you don't want to do iTunes. And JackieCation.com has everything. It has my stand-up schedule. It has a merch page where you can get Dork Forest t-shirts and even order a Dork Forest hoodie if you like. All of the shirts are made in America because while I'm willing to wear clothing that are made by toddlers, I'm unwilling to sell clothing made by toddlers. The hoodie, special ordered, for some reason, still made in the Philippines. I don't know why. Possibly because they're super cozy and I don't sell that many of them, but I should work on that. Anyway, there's a chance to donate to the Dork Forest. If you enjoy the Dork Forest, feel free to donate. $100 a year makes you a super fan, and you could do that in one chunk of $100, or you could break it up however you want, because I have not made that easy for you. It would be $8.33 a month if you want to do it. You could also just order stuff if you want Dork Forest t-shirts or CDs or DVD. I have 3 CDs out and 1 DVD, and you can order all of them. You could order a t-shirt, you could order a hoodie, and that will also support the show, and I totally appreciate that. Yeah, just so you know, the DVD of the Horcrux is Friday Second Show. That is the video. And the CD is Saturday Second Show. I don't know. I didn't videotape that one, but I like that set better. So that is the CD. The DVD is approximately 56 minutes long, and the CD, about 40, 48. So they're different sets, but they're the same material. And it's weird, but I like it. The credits. Let's credit the people that make this show possible, quite honestly. We have Mike Rickberg, who sang the intro song and composed the intro song and sings it with his girlfriend, Sarah Cohen, and he will sing Mexican Hat Dance at the end of this. The audio is fixed every week, and the teasers are created by Mr. Patrick Brady, friend of the show. Vilmos does my website, JackieCation.com. So if you're looking for someone to do your website, go to JackieCation.com, scroll down, and click on that link. All right, let's do this. Enjoy. At RBC Wealth Management, social responsibility starts at the top. As a part of the Royal Bank of Canada, RBC has been recognized among the world's financial, social, and environmental corporate leaders. Our sense of responsibility extends to our reputation for putting clients' interests first. My personal commitment is to help you achieve your financial goals by also considering sustainable and responsible investing strategies. To learn more, visit www.darlacashian.com. RBC Wealth Management, a division of RBC Capital Markets, LLC. Member NYSE, FINRA, SIPC. Hi, Jackie Cation here. Let me tell you something about not pressing record. It doesn't happen that often here in the Dork Forest. It doesn't feel dorky. It feels pejorative. As it feels more pejorative than the word dorky. I'm Jackie Cation. Welcome to the Dork Forest. I'm sitting here with Rhea Butcher, who is a great stand-up comic from Chicago, now lives here in the Los Angeles area with her loved one, Cameron Esposito. And you guys do Put Your Hands Together,
the podcast.
You also do Wham Bam Thank You Ma'am Watch a Movie.
Yeah.
No, what's it called?
Wham Bam Pow on the Max Fun Network.
The Max Fun Network is a movie podcast.
Yes, it's specifically action and sci-fi. We like to call them dick flicks.
Oh, that's it.
I'm not sure that we coined the phrase necessarily, but it feels as though we did.
And it feels real, and yes, it resonates.
It's pretty real.
It feels, that's great.
Trying to be reductive to the male stereotypes
of chick
as well,
flicks.
You know, to want to balance it out.
And they're super fun.
They are super fun. I mean, some of them are not fun, but
no, some of them are dumb.
Mostly.
But that could be said of any genre.
That can be said of literally any genre.
So if you go to RheaButcher.com, R-H-E-A, correct?
Correct.
And Rhea Butcher on Twitter and Instagram and all those things. Vine.
You know, I don't do the Vine.
You never did?
There's probably a Friendster sitting in there somewhere. I try to do Vine, just not my thing.
Right. Well,
I will occasionally do an Instagram video just because it's there.
Right. You know what I'll occasionally do is, Foursquare.
Foursquare?
Yeah.
Used to do Foursquare all the time.
A lot of people did. I never...
Which is why my tweet count is at 17K.
Oh, okay.
I only have like 3,500 followers, but right. My tweet count is very embarrassing.
Oh, it does feel embarrassing, doesn't it? The number of tweets that you've... I have embraced it. For a couple of months, I tried to delete tweets, and then I was like, nope. Might as well just change my name to Chatty Magoo and go forth.
Just go with it. Instead of trying to do the risky business, drive it backwards, I'm just going to live with it, you know? Also, the Ferris Bueller, drive it backwards. But.
Right. I was going to say, I don't remember that. I remember that in Ferris Bueller. That's a movie I didn't like.
Ferris Bueller?
Yeah. I am alone.
You are very alone.
I am almost entirely alone.
What about it did you not like? Tone?
I was probably his age when I saw it.
Oh, okay.
And I remember going... The hell is your problem? Just go to school.
Just go to school.
Yeah. Why are you such a dick?
Yeah.
And why are you so mean to your friend?
Have you heard the theories that he's a figment of Cameron's imagination and that it's really just like
Club?
Basically. And there are like some fan edits that have turned it into a Fight Club type thing.
Okay.
Sort of borrowing from Fight Club, but.
Well, I mean, I like the speculative nature of everybody's day and the fact that there are 24 hours in the day and there's at least 13 hours that you can spend thinking about how Dumbledore shouldn't be dead because the phoenix fire that rose from his grave means that he shouldn't have died in that book because he rose like the feet. I don't think you understand. He shouldn't be dead. Well, he was a million and he gets to die. It's the next great adventure.
Right.
That's what death is.
Yeah.
Anyway. So, but we talked about all of this.
Yes.
Already, sadly, in the first 10 minutes that I didn't record. But totally let's do it again.
Let's do it again. Here's the thing. It's very descriptive of the thing that we're going to talk about.
We had
to do it again.
That's right. You got to do it over.
We just got to do it over and
over again until you get it right. It's like a loop dream.
It is like a loop dream.
Lucid dreaming.
It's like Edge of Tomorrow.
Edge of Tomorrow, which I haven't seen yet.
Oh, I highly recommend you see it.
Excellent.
Especially in the theater because it is one of those immersive movies.
Okay.
You know, I mean, I didn't see it in 3D. I just saw it at the Vista Theater.
That's fine.
In Los Feliz. And it's really like a fun experience.
Right.
It's not perfect.
No.
Now that I've sort of thought about it more, it's not... It does sort of fall into that strong female character stereotype where she, you know, but anyway, she is great in it. Emily Blunt
where she just trains and then gets lost?
A little bit.
Is that the stereotype? I read about that stereotype.
That is the stereotype by one Tasha Robinson. She wrote a pretty great piece on The Dissolve about it.
Right.
Where it's sort of like trotted out to satisfy female viewers and male viewers too that want more female action stars, but they don't get to do anything. They just like show up and are flashy.
Right.
And are cool.
It's like your magical black friend.
Yes, exactly.
They come in, they provide a great amount of support,
yep.
and then the white guy goes out and really brings it.
Yeah, bunch of wisecracks, then they fall into the background. Or in a horror story, they're killed first. You know?
Right, exactly. You've served your purpose.
Yep.
Moving on. But the Lucy, are you looking forward to Lucy?
I am looking forward to Lucy.
Okay.
I love the sort of meta-ness of her being in this movie now, that like now she's like a human version of her, you know?
Oh, the Black Widow?
The Black Widow, yeah, she's gone from being Black Widow
Scarlett
to like an iOS or like an operating system.
Yeah.
And now in Lucy, it's like a combo of those two things where she's the action hero that is also so smart that she's basically an operating system.
Am I missing a movie in the middle that Scarlett Johansson did?
Her?
Oh, I didn't see her.
Okay.
There we go.
She was the voice of the operating system.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I wish I had been the voice of the operating system.
Hey,
it would have been a different movie.
It would have been a much better movie. I was not a fan of that movie.
Not a fan of that movie?
No, because originally they shot the entire film with a different actress.
Oh.
And then after it was done, they just plopped her Scarlett's voice in.
Oh, she just did looping?
I think to sex it up. Yep. They shot the whole thing with Samantha Morton.
Okay.
And some of the scenes, she's actually physically in there talking to Joaquin Phoenix.
Yeah.
So they're actually acting off
Joaquin
of each
Phoenix.
Other. Yeah, exactly. previously, Leaf.
Right.
And so then they just cut her out of it.
Okay.
Because I found some of the stuff to be pretty stilted and forced. And then that totally explained it to me when I found out later. Oh, they just...
The world is full of injustice.
In. It is.
That's one of the
women
most minor.
Women are not interchangeable.
Right.
You know?
Right. Right. If we want to go there, and we can.
We totally can.
I'm going to have a cashew. Are you allergic to nuts?
Nope, not at all.
Okay.
Only allergic to penicillin. That's all I've got.
Oh, Percodan myself.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. And yeah, now we've revealed our weaknesses, Dork Rangers of the Dork Forest.
Don't anybody give me polio because I don't know what I'll do.
Right. I just break out in hives when I've accidentally taken Percodan.
And that's what happens to me when I take anything with
I got
to
take oatmeal baths. Don't make me take an oatmeal bath, Americans.
Mm-hmm, like that. The raisins get stuck in places that you can never get them out.
Oh, right. Because of oatmeal. Yep. I get it. I see where the writing's happening. See, go see Rhea Butcher, people. Let's talk about your favorite movie of all time.
Sure.
Back to the Future.
Back to the Future. Favorite movie of all time. Also love that it's fun to say of all time because it's a time travel movie.
Oh, right.
That's my favorite part.
Is that true?
Yeah.
All right.
I love it.
Well, what is it that makes Back to the Future such a treat?
I think, well, one, it's like the first live action movie that I remember seeing and like comprehending and understanding in any
way. Okay.
Because like, you know, you see the Disney movies or like cartoons or
right.
even live action Disney movies, they sort of all, when it's made for kids,
it's
made for you. So you just, it just kind of goes in and out and then you're just experiencing it. But seeing a movie that's made more for adults and from
right.
an adult perspective, through and through, you sort of are like, cause I remember my mom.
What year did they come out? The
it
first
came out
one.
In 85.
Okay.
So I'm guessing, just my mild amount of mathematics here that I probably saw it sometime in 1987.
Okay.
Which would have made me about 5 when I saw it.
Okay.
Depending on what time of year.
That's
1987.
Right. I keep forgetting 4. You're 11.
I am and very young.
You're very young.
Like the star, Mr. Michael J. Fox, who never ages. He does right. really look young. I don't
he
know
does.
If you watched that Michael J. Fox show when it was on, which I caught a couple episodes.
I just saw an interview with him, and I was like, he's got crow's feet, but...
yeah, other than that.
He gets to. Because
yeah.
he's approximately 50 years old, so
yeah.
he gets to age.
Like, he's up there,
mm-hmm.
but he looks great.
He does look great.
Age.
It's all working out.
Yeah.
It's because he's so short.
It's
because
he's
adorably
so short. Yeah.
1985, I think that was... It was PG? Was it?
It is PG, yes.
Right. Which was defined differently.
It was. Actually, that is the year that it changed.
Okay.
Through the movie, the film Temple of Doom. I think there is some debate on this, but Temple of Doom, I have always understood, was the first PG-13 movie.
Okay.
Because Raiders
was
PG.
Because of how mediocre it was.
And, right, yeah, because of how offensive it was. Because
they're
so
like,
racist.
You're going to have to be 13 to see yeah. how stupid this film is.
This is really bad.
This is not positive.
It's so bad.
It really is.
Now, do you
is.
Like Last Crusade?
Yeah.
Because I love Last Crusade.
Let me tell you something.
I recently found out people don't like that one.
I was
love
alive,
it.
Very sentient in the 80s. And what I did, oh, it would have been the early 90s, but whatever. Let's picture 1985.
It feels like the 80s. Early 90s feels like 80s.
VHS.
Yes.
Copy of Indiana Jones and The Last Crusade.
Yes.
No, it would have been the first one. Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Yep.
Me running my Walkman from the VHS to a tape recorder.
Oh, my goodness.
And then just taping the audio
yes.
of the movie. And by the way, 30 other movies.
Oh, sure.
And then on the road, doing
just
35 weeks a year on the road, popping in a cassette.
That's the best.
Of my favorite movies. The first three Star Wars, the two good Indiana Jones movies
yes,
at the time.
Skip over 2.
Oh, yeah. Just totally. Though I'm told some people like 2 now. They say that it's better now than it was.
I'm sure there are some things in it because when 4 came out, I like marathoned the 3 for fun.
Okay.
And then went to, because I used to marathon those movies with my mom. Like we loved watching trilogies together.
Okay.
Although we would always skip 2. But there is some good writing, but it's just not as, I think that.
They didn't nail it.
You know, the
and the screaming lady
character who then becomes Mrs. Spielberg, whose name
right.
always escapes me. I
and
can never
we
think of.
We both win.
Kate Capshaw.
Oh, shit.
Is her name.
You've just lost.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to lose the world. But she is just too much of a harpy, and she never gets to redeem herself.
Yeah, the screaming is out of hand.
It's so obnoxious.
There's several Goldie Hawn movies where all she does is scream.
Yes.
That makes me want to just jump through the screen in sort of a, what is the movie, the Woody Allen movie where he jumps out of the, and then molests small boys. No, I'm so sorry. It ends up, but there's, she's screaming the entire film.
The whole time.
And I was like, Steven Spielberg, how was that attractive?
Right. How did you,
what
and also
you
how did you do this to a woman that you clearly liked?
Yeah.
Very weird.
Yeah.
Like, I wonder if that's why he did that. Because he was trying to like distance himself from this woman that he liked. Because Karen Allen is amazing in
Karen
Raiders.
Allen.
And so is even, the Nazi gal in the third one.
Right. And even in the fourth one, Karen Allen
yes,
is great.
Although she doesn't get much to do. She just gets knocked out, which I was so angry when that happened in
right,
the movie.
Right, because she could have taken some names.
Thing. Like, come on.
She could have, yeah, she could have
You can't
definitely.
Do that to us. Everybody loves her. Everybody. I can't imagine that there's anybody that's a fan of Indiana Jones that goes like, yeah, but I don't like Marion.
I didn't want to see more Marion. We yeah, all want to see more Marion.
Nobody wants to see more Marion. Everybody
Boys,
wants to see
Boys, girls, children, yes. animals, everyone's yeah. just like, wait, where did that Karen Frank character go?
Right, precisely.
I don't need to see Shia LaBeouf.
Yeah, nobody
was it him?
Wants to see Shia LaBeouf. Yeah,
okay.
it was.
Yeah, it's I get him and Tobey Maguire mixed up. Sorry,
very
Toby.
Confusing.
Sorry, Toby. Yeah, because it's just not right.
I get Tobey Maguire sorry. And James McAvoy confused sometimes.
Wow, I couldn't pick James McAvoy out of a lineup. So.
Professor Xavier.
Oh, is he the young Professor Xavier? Okay,
yeah.
all right. Yeah, there's a whole slew. Like I was in, I'm literally at the grocery store yesterday, looking at the covers of the magazines, going, I know they're famous. Those names sound familiar, but they all look exactly
yep.
the same.
They just have that same sheen.
That yeah, very shiny. Yeah. Marie Bamford working on a new bit about how women in Los Angeles are not aging; they're just becoming more moist. She's yeah. like, there's a certain amount of dampness
just
about their face.
Dampness.
It's like, oh, your face is wet. Oh,
yep.
You're not 50.
Yeah.
You're just wet.
You're just like melting a little and then it's all mixing together.
Well, it's and I know what it is too, because I have friends who are very interested in not aging. I'm interested in not aging and not interested in doing anything about it.
Sure.
But my friends who are interested in doing something about it keep applying moisturizer. Mm-hmm. And that's the wetness.
Yeah. It's just too much moisturizer.
Right.
Sitting on top, you know, once you've filled right. the pores.
Right. And
they
the
just
lines.
Can't take anymore.
Right. Then now it's just kind of a shellac.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All that's left is string art. Just turn it into like yeah. a 19,
yes.
like a masted
it's
ship.
All very, you know, Jackson Pollock, everybody's face.
Just throw something at it. And anyway, so back,
yes, back to
the future.
To the future.
What?
Sorry.
So how many times have you seen it? The first one.
The first one, I mean, I usually say, and this is a conservative estimate,
sure.
of like 250 times probably.
Wow.
I mean, it is a movie that
Will
every
you watch
sick
it
day
every
I
year?
Put it on.
Oh.
Absolutely. Last year, I didn't get to see it that much because when I moved here from Chicago, I left my entire movie collection
right.
back there.
With
which
your
was
mom.
So stupid. Actually, my family's in Ohio, but I moved here from Chicago because I was living there. That's where I started doing
You don't
stand-up
have a storage
stuff.
Unit, do you?
I do not have a storage unit.
Good for
my
you.
My storage unit is called Cameron Esposito's parents' house, and it's there. And
they are psyched.
They are so stoked about it. But it's really just a couple of boxes. I have
right.
a lot of movies. I like collecting movies. It's
sure.
like one of my favorite things. But I didn't have a copy with me.
Okay.
And actually, I was on the very fun podcast, Not As Fun As Dork Forest, Jordan Jesse Go.
Right.
And mentioned, because they asked me the same question, how many times have you seen this? Because I like to
right.
Quote the movie quite often. But I said, you know, it's been a while because I don't have my copy with me. And somebody sent me
oh, yeah.
a copy of it.
Todd Mason
me
sent
so
me
happy.
A copy of Flipper.
Oh,
the original
kidding.
Movie from 1964.
Oh my God, I loved Flipper.
Oh, such a good, and it came with three other movies that one of them is a Lassie movie, and they're all animal related.
Yes,
movies.
Did it come with That Darn Cat, perhaps? Or the Cat from Outer Space?
It did not. It was a Don Knotts movie, but I don't know what it is. Here's my question about Back to the Future for you.
Yes.
What's the first quote that you remember from that you use? In the first, let's say, 10, 15 minutes of the movie.
In the first 10, 15 minutes of the movie. Let me see. I think one of my favorite quotes from the first 10 or 15 minutes of the movie is that my clocks I hear?
Wow.
And then following right up after that is, damn, I'm late for school. And then the riff from...
right. Then the guitar riff.
Yeah. Bang, blang, yes. Which I have the only, besides going to the Universal lot.
Right.
And seeing the rebuilt Hill Valley Square because it burned
mm-hmm,
down and they
mm-hmm.
rebuilt it. Other than being there, the only other filming location that I have made it to so far
mm-hmm.
is the Burger King, which is in Burbank on Victory Boulevard. I've been to that Burger King and I've stood in the position where the cameras are to swing by and watch Marty go out. And even because I was taken there, it was a surprise. And I saw the sign, and then I saw the surrounding signs. I was like, this is it. I like knew it was the Burger King.
Oh my God. Did Kurt Brownaller bring you there?
No, he did not.
He Cameron likes to,
did. Okay. But he does do that K-hole.
Yeah.
He, hide you. And then.
Right. He blindfolded me and took me 15 minutes from here, this very home, to a place that could have been in the Central Valley of California.
Oh yeah.
But it was only 15 minutes. So I was like, the hell are we?
Yeah,
how did you find this place?
He finds the craziest places. He found like a Nazi compound.
Right. He took Kyle Kinane underground in Los Angeles. Where he took me was a series of sexually and racially inappropriate homemade sculptures.
Whoa.
Yeah. It was a motel that wanted, the guy hired somebody to make like a old West town next to him as a tourist thing after World War II.
Yes.
And the first day he saw the guy doing it, and he was like, well, I can do that. And then he started making sculptures of men and women and cowboys and Indians and all these different things that were, first of all, artistically not good.
Not good at all.
Second of all, out of proportion.
Sure.
That was one of the flaws.
Yeah.
And then, like weird, like her skirts are too, it was very, anyway, but
very outsider art sounds
very
like.
Much so. And it was at some college.
That's so funny.
That's like 15 minutes from here up in like Northridge or Pacoima or something like that. And I was like, where are we?
Fascinating.
And he's like, you don't know? And I said, no, I don't. I barely know. If I'm on the street San Fernando, it means I'm lost.
Yes.
So if, whatever. So, okay. So, cause I've seen the first Back to the Future.
How many times have you seen it? Have you seen it in the theater?
I saw it in the theater in 1985.
Yes, in 1985?
And then I
was
so excited.
Have you seen it since in the theater?
I've not seen it
in the theater since like four times now.
Oh, really?
They played a lot out here.
Oh, that's interesting.
But I did see it in Chicago for the 25th anniversary. And that was the first time I'd ever seen it in the theater because I was too young to see it in the theater.
Right. Too little. So, did you like it in the big? I mean, the big screen in a theater is super fun.
I mean, it completely changes any movie that you've seen before.
Right.
And then, and especially love.
Right.
Because one of the most, it's actually giving me, I'm like getting excited about
it.
Thinking about it.
This is the place.
Like people laugh in different places because you've seen it so many times. And for me, this movie was like, it's totally a bonding thing between my mom and I.
Right.
She raised me. My parents were divorced. I'd spend time with my dad, but he and I did not watch movies together.
Mm-hmm.
It was a thing that my mom and I did like on weekends and stuff. And we will still quote that movie back to each other. Like, actually, my cat, who is now my mom's cat, is named Marty.
Okay.
And so my mom says to Marty all the time, oh, Marty, I hope you like meatloaf. Which is Lorraine's mother says that him. And but then when you go in the theater and you're with all these strangers, they laugh at different stuff. And then you're like, oh, my God, I didn't realize that was even funny. And the thing that I love about this movie, too, is that since I saw it at such a young age, loved it immediately, that I find new things every time I watch it because I didn't get the humor because I was too young. And then it just became this sort of soundtrack. Like you were saying, you record it and then you just listen to the soundtrack and it's like music.
Yeah.
And then you get older and then you're like, oh, that's why that's funny. Like one of my favorite, scenes, like sort of, it's actually like kind of a monologue.
Yeah.
When, Doc Brown is explaining in the parking lot.
Right.
He's like, old man Peabody, you used to own all of this. It's just pine trees as far as the eye can see. He had this crazy idea about breeding pine trees, which I never got the joke until I was older because he is a crazy scientist.
Right.
Building a time machine. Judging a guy for breeding pine trees.
Right, that guy's a nutbag.
Right, that guy's crazy.
Why
back
does he
to
wanna...
this DeLorean. And I love how it's written so tightly, and I think that this movie won an Oscar for the screenplay. If it didn't win an Oscar, it was
nominated
for the screenplay.
Okay,
because
it is actually
one of the tightest screenplays. I mean, there's not a minute wasted in this entire movie.
Yeah, there isn't a bad scene in it, quite
honestly.
Yeah,
you don't spend, there's no time that you spend with anything that doesn't come into play.
Yeah, you don't need to fast forward through.
Not at all.
In a moment, we will discuss 2 and 3.
Absolutely.
Which cannot be watched without a fast forward thumb near the fast forward.
For sure.
But
I've recently come to love and feel different about both of those movies.
Well, if
we
watch anything enough.
Sure.
You can, like, there's a couple of movies, Support Your Local Sheriff with James Garner, and it is...
I have not seen that movie.
Well, I saw it when I was a kid on TV, and I always assumed it was shitty because it had been smash cut for television, bought a copy of it, watched it completely. Turns out the editor was horrible. Because it was not edited at all for television.
Oh, you're kidding me.
It was smash cut the fuck out of itself.
Oh my
gosh.
You're
like, I still love it. Still love it because yeah. I was seven.
Yeah.
And then the other one is Goldie Hawn, Kurt Russell, Overboard.
Overboard.
With Roddy McDowall.
Bird on a Wire?
Bird on a Wire.
Yeah.
Too Much Screaming.
Yes.
Takes place in Racine, Wisconsin. And there's a chase scene through Chinatown. I don't know if you've ever been to Racine, Wisconsin.
Doesn't look like Chinatown.
Not a lot of Chinatown.
Yeah,
there's approximately three Chinese families who live in fear of their lives.
Right, I'm sure.
And so in the first movie, I like it's, you know, it's essentially Groundhog Day. You know, they redo it in Groundhog Day to a greater extent.
Sure.
But in Back to the Future, it was the first time I think anybody ever decided that we're going to recreate this situation and we're going to, you know, when he goes back in time and he sees the clock
mm-hmm.
and he sees the square
in
the
newspaper, the kid is on springs.
Yeah.
There's hats. Everybody's wearing hats.
Right.
All of a sudden it's Mad Men and he's like, what is this?
Right. Right.
Yeah. And I was wondering too, on my way over here thinking like, is this the first time where pop culture met time travel, time travel, so that it is not, it is historical because time mm-hmm. travel is in and of itself historical because you have to go
right
to
you
a time
do
that
right.
existed. But I feel like previously everything, you know, and they make reference to Jules Verne later on in the series, not so much in the first one, but where it's simply, where it has something to do with the greater culture, what
right.
is existing in the time that you are watching it.
Right.
And then also this time that, whether you are aware of it or not, it has an effect on that time that you're watching it.
Right. The only other time travel movie I can think of offhand is Hercules and the Three Stooges.
Yes.
I don't know if you're familiar with this film. It's,
I feel like I've definitely seen it.
It's so, the Three Stooges are so old, it's
yes.
in color.
Whoa, you're yeah. kidding me.
No.
I definitely haven't seen it. I
right.
think I've only seen black and white Three
right.
Stooges.
The Three Stooges, it's from the 60s. They're very old.
So is this with Curly or is this with Shemp?
It is with, I think it's with Curly. It is
okay.
not with Shemp, I don't think. And I might own it as well. But mm-hmm. The crazy thing is they go back in time. There's a nerdy scientist and the Three Stooges are his assistants. Because everyone needs three assistants.
Right. That's the perfect round number. Three assistants. It definitely wouldn't get confusing.
And they go back in time and they go and they become galley slaves. And our nerdy scientist becomes all muscly.
Mm-hmm.
And they think he's Hercules.
Okay.
Because he loses his glasses. I mean, that's the first thing is he loses his glasses.
Right. It's a Superman, Clark Kent kind of a thing.
Right. And you're like, okay, well, how is he seeing then? I mean,
sure.
I don't know how bad his eyesight is.
Yeah.
But I would have been killed out of hand by
right.
the first falling object that I didn't avoid.
Absolutely.
If I were living in Hercules.
It's just columns falling.
Columns,
left and right.
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 I can, you're
yeah.
a blur.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, so I think that there's references to that kind of thing. But like when he goes into the store and he orders a tab.
Yes.
And they're like, well, you have to order something before
yeah,
you get
I can't
the
give
tab.
You a tab unless you order something.
That's it.
Like, I think the first thing he says is, I'll have a Pepsi free.
And oh.
He's like, if you want a Pepsi, pal, you're going to have to pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
Then he says tab.
Right.
And he's like, just give me something without any sugar in it.
And he gets a cup
and
of coffee.
He gets a cup of coffee.
That he can't possibly enjoy.
What I love is that he puts coins down.
Mm-hmm.
And they just, it's like an above shot. He puts coins down. There's a guitar pick in there.
Yeah.
Which I don't know if they even would have had guitar picks in 1955. Not plastic.
Oh, yeah, they did. Plastic
did
was
they?
Invented during World War II.
Okay.
I only know that
because
of a movie.
But I wonder if it would have been so ubiquitous. There is one, would this be an anachronism? Doc Brown at the end of, it's still 1955 when he's trying to go back to 1985, is wearing
right.
Velcro, and Velcro was not invented in 1955.
Oh, it was
so
not.
He would not have had Velcro shoes.
I remember. I was just a baby in 1950. No. Anyway, so the, but the thing, yeah, it was crazy. The pick, I don't think that the pick would have been plastic, maybe not, just because.
Yeah, I feel like they just wouldn't have had, it probably would have been made out of something horrifying, like ivory or something, you know? Like,
oh, right.
Like
right.
endangered redwood, you know, just something that like, oh yeah, let's make guitar picks out of this.
We're going to make guitar picks
yeah.
out of the nails of slaves.
Sure.
Let's
and
do
he
that.
Definitely would have had coins that were
that said 1980.
Then. Absolutely.
Right. You're just
yeah.
like, that wouldn't be the coin.
Sure.
I mean, unless he had, for some reason, 1,000 buffalo nickels in his pocket.
Right. I would have loved if he put, but they do the John F. Kennedy joke later, but if he would have put it like a, Is that what? A silver dollar? A Kennedy coin?
Oh, the Kennedy coin? It was, yeah, there
was a half dollar?
There was a half dollar with a Kennedy.
Yeah.
Did they do the joke later?
He does do the joke when he's at Lorraine's house and he's talking to Lorraine's dad and mom.
Yeah.
He's asking for directions and he's like, "Can you do you know where I think it's 1250 Riverside Drive is?" And he says, "It's a block past Maple. It's the other end of town." And then Marty McFly's like, "Oh, I know that. That's John F. Kennedy Drive." And then the dad says, "Who the hell is John F. Kennedy?"
I don't remember that line. They would have probably known
about him because at that time he was like a war hero.
Right. He was and a senator.
Yes. But he wouldn't have been, you know, they wouldn't have named anything after
right.
him.
Right. No, there's no way that they would have. But it's funny because, yeah, there was a lot like that's the scene where he's talking to his uncle. Get used to those bars.
Yeah, better get used to those bars, kid. This is kind of like what I was saying before, where it's a movie that, like Indiana Jones and Star Wars and stuff, rewards on rewatch where you catch more things and see it sort of opens up. Somebody recently tweeted at me, "So what do you think Good Joey got to do? Like Uncle Joey?" Because they don't revisit that. It never comes back.
Oh, right. Because he changed his history.
And everything, you know, the family
is happy. How did Joey work out? Yeah.
So, like, what do you think he did? And my speculation was, and I mean, they really don't need to bring it back in. That might have been a little bit of overkill to be like, Uncle Joey, you know, whatever. But I was like, maybe he's an astronaut.
Oh.
Because you're, like, stuck in.
Right, right.
He likes to be contained.
Right. You know? Cause, okay, so if Joey was, it's 1955,
mm-hmm.
he's approximately a year old.
Yes.
So he would have been 18 in 1973,
mm-hmm.
which was when the draft was discontinued.
Mm-hmm.
So he wouldn't have gone to Vietnam.
There you go.
Yeah, it's,
definitely a possibility.
Right. He could have joined the service. Nobody joined the service in 1973. There was a lot of running far away from the service.
There
was a lot of people avoiding the service in 1973. And, I think Stripes came out in 77 or 78.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't realize it was that. I thought it was 80s for some reason.
It might have been. God knows. I don't have all the information.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, who wants to have
I wish there was some sort of device
that
could tell us.
Yeah, it's almost like, could we look at a database of some kind?
No, it turns out we don't have that kind of technology. It's but I like okay, so what are sort of your three favorite scenes in the first Back to the Future?
In the first Back to the Future, I love the diner scene. Because that first diner scene when he goes into Lou's, which is an aerobics spot in 1985, because he rides past it and waves at all the ladies doing
jazzercise or whatever.
You don't know that? Oh, well, next time you watch it, now you're going to see
exactly.
it. Because he rides through the square after he's hung out with Jennifer. I mean, I love that scene, too. With Jennifer, of them setting up everything.
About how they're going to get away and go
camping?
How
they're going to go to the lake, you know, throw a couple sleeping bags in the back. He sees the 4x4 that he wants to see. But then you see everything. You see the town, and it shows up. You get to understand where he lives. He's at the school right before. I mean, they just set up everything so perfectly.
Yeah.
The exposition is physically around him.
Right.
You know?
It's the set is one of the characters.
I don't know if you're aware of this. This is something that I learned once I got the Blu-rays that are great. If you have not seen them with all the special features on, because it has something called setups and payoffs. So it points out all those things.
Oh,
so
while you watch it?
While you watch it. It tells you, like, when the Twin Pines Mall sign shows up, and they emphasize
it. Is it like a pop-up?
It pops up, and it says, Twin Pines Mall. You might want to pay attention to that for later in the movie. And then when it comes up as Lone Pine Mall, it says, hey, remember? And then it's like a little inset thing, and it shows that scene by scene next to each other. I love it. It's like, I love that stuff.
Okay.
And it's really well done in the Blu-rays. But, and I found this out, too, that they built the 1955 set first. And they shot, I think, all of the 1955 stuff.
Okay.
And then they aged it to 1985. And then they shot the 1985 scenes.
That almost makes sense from a time travel kind of...
Right?
Yeah.
Because they actually put the patina of time onto their set. And I think that's why it's so believable.
Right. Because
then they put oil spots in the... You know, like the pavement is new in 1955.
Yeah.
And there's no parking lot. You know, like it shows what we value.
Right.
From 1955 to 1985, we just need to park. Like, I don't care if it looks nice.
Right.
And then there's, like, oil spots. It's all disgusting. And they have to save the clock tower because nobody cares about it anymore.
Right.
But everything is, like, beautiful and pristine and new.
In 1955.
There's, like, a porn movie theater in 1985.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. That's crazy.
I mean, I love the diner scene because you get Goldie Wilson.
Okay.
You get some race relations in there, which could probably be considered pretty, you know, racially insensitive, but it's also like very 1955.
I don't think so. I mean, the thing is just because something's racial doesn't make it racist,
yes,
right?
For sure.
And the fact that it was addressed at all, I think, is smart.
Yes.
And not dismissive.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, it would be worse to dismiss it and then did not include any black people whatsoever. Right. You know, like then that would be pretty bad.
I mean, and he is essentially the trope. I mean, he is our one, one black guy.
Right.
And you're like, well, the 50s, you know, I remember watching Happy Days when I was a kid and my parents just, we would watch it and I was like, I love this show. Mm-hmm. And my parents are like, wow, it's so fascinating that there are no black people in the 50s.
Sure. Yeah, no black people in them.
The 50s didn't have any. I don't know if you'd have to travel out of Milwaukee to find black people.
Right. And, no black people in Milwaukee.
And then my stepmother told me that she went and saw Malcolm X speak in the early 60s.
You're kidding.
No. And I was like, what? And she said, I know. And she said, and I'll tell you this, I only went because a guy I liked wanted to go.
Wow.
And she said, so we went and we got to hear Malcolm X speak and it was amazing.
That's amazing.
But she was like, mostly I just went to the Catholic dances and, and so it was
not so much
60s.
Malcolm X at the Catholic dances.
Right. This was a very dangerous thing for me to do, to go find black people and see what they were saying.
Right.
And she said, and they were saying, very smart things and it all worked out. And my dad was like, oh, black people. And, cause my dad is a button pusher.
Yes.
And, he just wants to hate whatever you like.
Sure.
God love him.
I know that.
And, may he rest in peace. Turns out still alive. My father's going in for surgery on Tuesday.
Okay.
And, when this airs, he will have lived.
He will have lived.
He will have lived. Sure. And,
we're going to keep pushing those buttons.
That's it. You got to keep pushing the buttons. He was telling me a story yesterday on the phone. He was like, got to get the stories in.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, Pop, you're going to have hopefully another 15 years to tell me stories.
Tons
and he goes,
stories.
15 years? What's the quality of life going to be like at that? And I was like, stop talking.
All right. Goodbye. Mm-hmm. Just get off of there.
Okay. So the Goldie scene in the diner scene. Initially.
And also, it is really hard. It's like trying to split a child in half to tell you which scene.
Don't
I
bother.
Love.
Just keep
like,
going.
Now I remember
the scene
before that that sets up the dynamic of the family that also has stuff that lines that I didn't realize until I was older when they're talking about when they're eating at the McFly home.
Oh, the McFly home.
And he sees
home.
The car. Yeah. And the car's wrecked. And then you see George and you see what a pushover he is. And Biff is yelling.
Right.
And they're killing it in those scenes. Like, the older I got, the more I realized, like, wow, Crispin Glover and Thomas F. Wilson are amazing in this. And so is Leah Thompson.
Yeah.
They are doing such a great job because they are in their 20s.
Yeah.
They're in their early to mid 20s.
Right.
And they are playing what?
40s.
40s.
Yeah.
Then also teenagers.
Right.
Like, very well. Their makeup's not great.
The makeup isn't great.
They didn't put anything on the hands.
Oh.
But the face makeup is pretty good for the time.
Okay.
But when you see it in the theater, you're like,
and
oh,
I never noticed
like
their hands.
Crazy glue.
It's a little pockmarked, and
yes,
the horror of it being in your 40s.
Yeah.
And as an acting exercise, that is an amazing acting exercise to have to act as a person in their 40s versus a person in your 20s.
Right.
Or teens.
Yeah. Teens of having like this, of like everything is the first time and like you're trying to figure yourself out and then to have to be like
this disillusioned. Just,
like, totally. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Just like over it, throwing a cake on the table. And just like my favorite line in that. We used to say the fish under the sea dance all the time to each other. My mom and I. No. It was the enchantment under the sea dance. Again, great exposition that doesn't feel super forced because you have those conversations.
Right.
As families, like you rehash
the same
familial,
nine stories.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You tell each other this stuff over and over again. Wendy Jo Sperber couldn't care less about the story. She doesn't want to hear about it again. Dave and George are just watching TV. Like, nobody's really listening to
nope.
her. She's just talking about her life.
Yeah.
But I love when she throws the cake down and Dave is like, oh, Uncle Jailbird Joey, like, didn't get, you know. And Leah Thompson is like, well, everybody makes mistakes in life, children.
Oh, my
and
God.
She's basically saying her children are a mistake
right.
in a way, you know,
right.
like
she's
I love
like,
this, like,
look
embedded,
around you.
Yeah. Everybody
this is
makes
a giant
mistakes,
mistake.
Yeah.
Everything around you.
Yeah. Everything is wrong here.
It's if there was one thing I could undo, it'd be the enchantment under the sea.
Right.
Right. So, well, that, okay. So, yeah. So it goes to that. And then he goes, I like the were the terrorists Syrians?
Libyans.
That's yeah. right. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Right.
The Libyans.
Ah, the Libyans.
What? And what?
The Libyans. I don't know how, but they found us.
Well, where are they going to look? Anyway, right.
They have that VW van.
Yeah, yeah, they have a...
Gets out of it with a
giant
rocket launcher.
Yeah, he's got like a weird Bruce Coburn rocket launcher.
Sure.
Why?
1985,
why?
I mean, that scene is so fantastical, too, when the DeLorean is backed out with that like dry ice fog coming out, and it's like shot like Close Encounters kind of a thing.
Yeah.
Just so brilliant. And the tire tracks, like how did they... I mean, that's so great.
What?
You know, when the DeLorean travels through time,
they
have that
fire
remote, and then the
it's fire
like a
tire
slow
tracks?
Burn. I know what chemical it is, but I can't remember what it is. Like specific pyrotechnics to keep it burning.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So now he's in the middle of nowhere.
Yes.
He's in a field. He's got to push. By the way, the DeLorean, not a light vehicle.
Not a one person. No, I mean, it's stainless steel.
Yeah, it's
made
out of
steel. I mean,
Doc
even makes reference to that. Stainless steel construction makes the flux dispersal, but then he never finishes it because the DeLorean comes back. And it took me so many times as a kid to understand the skipping over the minute thing.
Oh.
Because I just couldn't understand it as a kid. I just remember being like, but why is his... Because I don't... It just took me a really long time to grasp
on... What happened?
Because Doc puts Einstein in the car. And he has those like little hand time. I don't even remember what those are called. Stopwatch. Thank you. And they're set to the same time, mm-hmm. which then is like making reference, like he's messing around with his clocks at the beginning. They're all 15 minutes slow. Then he puts it on Einstein. He sets the time travel thing and Einstein goes to the future.
Right.
They have to catch up to him. So they experience that minute. However, he does not because he jumps in time.
Okay.
3 minutes or a minute or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
So his clock is
I get it.
Behind, I believe.
His clock
didn't experience that minute.
It was
but
just a couple of seconds.
The clock itself was going, but he didn't live the time.
Wait. Did the two stopwatches, are they even?
They're even to begin with.
But then they are not.
When he opens it up and he takes him out, it's like it's got a minute. One
disparity.
Is a minute behind,
yeah.
But I can't remember which one because, again, hard for me to grasp this concept because it doesn't actually exist.
Right.
So it's hard for me as a human.
I would say the dog has not experienced the minute.
The dog didn't experience it at all because we did. We spent the time with Doc and Marty, him explaining how it happened.
How it all works.
Yeah, and then the car just...
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and then he shows up.
He's
at
in
the
door. Field.
Yeah.
He tries to get a ride because he's out of gas and... In the fight that Doc is about to get into the car, and that's when the Libyans show up, and he had forgotten to put any extra plutonium in DeLorean. One pellet, one trip.
Mm-hmm.
I must be out of my mind. He forgets to put it in, so Marty doesn't have any. Marty, trying to save himself, is like, let's see if these suckers can do 90. That's why he time travels, because he hits the thing when he's shifting gears.
Yeah.
And then he tries to go 90, and he hits 88, and then he travels back to 1955. Because the last date they were talking about is Doc remembering that November 5th, 1955 is when he invented time travel because he slipped on his toilet hanging a clock.
That's right.
Yeah.
Right. The clocks, they're all over.
They're all over the place.
They're all over the place. And so yeah. And then I drew this.
Yeah.
Is what
I drew this. That's a great scene too. When he finally gets to Doc's house and then he is trying to read his mind with his invention.
Oh, right.
And
he's wearing
I was reading somebody's interpretation that they think it actually is working because he's like, you've traveled a great distance. And Marty's like, yes, I have. And he's like, you are trying to sell me a subscription to the Saturday Evening Post. And he actually, you know, they use like a newspaper clipping to predict the lightning bolt. So like his invention is kind of working.
Okay.
But it's not perfect. So he's like, this damn thing doesn't work at all.
Right.
And then he's like oh, who's president in 1985? He's like Ronald Reagan, the actor. And then they go through that whole thing where he's like running with a bunch of plans.
Right.
And, you know, he's like, I suppose Jane Wyman is the first lady.
Yeah.
Jack Benny is the secretary. So great.
It was where I got my idea of a TV show I wanted to do on Comedy Central where Jimmy Pardo would be the president.
Mm-hmm.
And then he would, And he would fill his cabinet with comedians.
Oh, that'd be great.
And it would just be just a little sketch show.
Just yeah, a little just a little presidential sketch.
Presidential comedic sketch show.
Yeah.
Because that's how I fix the world, by putting comics in charge.
Comics in charge.
That's what it could be called.
That's what it could be called.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
All right. So, yeah. So I like, okay, so we go through this, the enchantment under, what did you really learn from the movie? I mean, I know that it was the first thing you saw, but did was it life changing? Did it
I think it was life changing for, and I've been trying to sort of parse it out. I think that as a kid whose parents were divorced, because my parents were divorced before I could remember.
Okay.
Like I never experienced my parents as
married.
So
it's clearly your fault.
Totally my fault. 100%.
Right.
That I think that I latched onto this movie because I thought there might be a chance that I could change things. You know, like I might get to do this. You know, like seeing a kid make things better for his parents was something that totally struck me. Because like I thought, I didn't know. Because when you're a kid, everybody's parents are together.
Right.
You're like, well, there's something wrong. You know, I never really was like, oh, they need to get back together. But I think somewhere inside, I felt that way just because that's the norm. That's like the typical thing that you see.
Right. That's being shown on television.
Yeah, for
that,
sure.
That there are two parents.
Yeah. And this is how it goes.
Right. And you're like, well, how? And then when you're a kid, you're like, well, maybe I could fix it.
Or, I mean, you have, you know, the parent trap, all that stuff of like getting them back together, everything. Mm-hmm. So I think that was one thing that I immediately, and then just Marty McFly is just super cool. He plays guitar.
Right.
He is a skateboarder.
Right.
And he has like a hot girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
All three things that I wanted to do. You know, like immediately.
You're like, I want all of that.
I want all of this.
Right. I wanted to be able to skateboard. I never wanted to play the guitar.
Yeah.
It seemed like it would hurt my fingers.
It does hurt your fingers.
Right. Do you play the guitar?
It absolutely does. I haven't played in a really long time, but I can play the guitar.
And you remember it hurting your fingers.
It does hurt your fingers when you're starting. And then you build up blisters on your fingers. And
right.
It doesn't
and calluses and it's fine.
Oh, that's what I mean. Calluses, not blisters. That would
blisters
be
would be
really
super painful.
That's what I meant. It's just a constant blister.
And then you bleed. You bleed all over
it. Pops all the time.
It's like
it's
a stigmata.
Really painful.
Yeah. And you have a Christ-like moment.
Yeah.
But so that's interesting because I remember him going, and what I did think was interesting, the only discord I thought in that movie, because I thoroughly enjoyed that film, was when he wrote, when he ends up doing the song that, not Jerry Lee Lewis, but
Chuck Berry.
Chuck Berry. He's like, it's his cousin, and he calls him up. He's like, listen to this. And you're like, yeah, I'm writing that.
Right.
What the hell is he doing?
Yeah.
Where did he hear me do that? And why is that white guy going to be able to take credit for this? Because that's disappointing to me.
Yeah. It is disappointing. It's a little bit whitewashing. I mean, it's fun.
Right.
You know, if you,
it is fun.
If you disassociate yourself from, again, the race relations and all of that stuff, and just,
which
I mean,
is sometimes hard.
It is hard. Yeah.
Right,
and then you think like, oh, a white guy?
Yeah.
Like, come on.
It felt disappointing is what it felt.
And actually the discord that I have with this movie as an adult now is the fact that there's like a rape scene involved in it, like sexual assault.
Yeah.
But you know, it's pretty bad, you know?
Right. And
George. George saves.
Yeah.
She can be in peril, but it's a little intense. You know, it's like kind of a kid's movie. It's
when PG-13, right? It was when PG-13
right
didn't matter.
Right.
Right. Because if you ever saw 16 Candles.
Yes.
There is, I forgot. I was showing it to this kid that I forgot. Yeah.
Yeah.
You as a budding child might have realized that there's noodly boobs.
Oh,
there's noodly boobs of the blonde chick in the locker room.
Yeah.
And it was just PG at the time. And
then later on, she's passed out and is like basically given away.
Right.
You know,
it was just like, no, you can
a plaything or whatever.
Yeah,
like, you can take her. Just do whatever you want. Like, what? This is not cool at all.
But PG meant that you could show topless.
Yeah.
And, the whole Porky's. I don't know if you, I remember when Porky's came out because I was
sentient. I've seen Porky's.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
It was a long ass time ago.
I
was like, this is what it is? Okay. Ugh, no thanks.
It's so gross.
Yeah.
And I remember even seeing the ad for it and going, oh, that's not for me. I know I'm 18, but they didn't make this for me at all.
I thought it was going to be fun, like Revenge of the Nerds, which also involves sexual assault in that movie as well. But I mean, the 80s are a really weird time for that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Even in very adult movies, like I went back and watched Death Wish.
Oh,
and there is
Charles
like,
Bronson.
Yeah, the first one, because I went to see the movie The Brave One, starring Jodie Foster, which is basically a remake of Death Wish.
Oh,
where
is it?
She is the Bronson character.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it's pretty much. I mean, she's great in it.
Mm-hmm.
She's great in basically everything she does.
Right, right. Turns out she's a really good actor.
Turns out she's really good because you know they give Oscars to straight people for playing gay all the time and say they're so brave.
Oh.
But I say that Jodie Foster is so brave for playing straight all these years.
Exactly.
Because she really has been just playing it straight for a real long ass time.
Making out with fellas, just falling
out
in
with
love.
Dudes. Not always believable, but hey, she's been doing it her whole life.
Right.
But yeah, I went back and watched Death Wish because I was going to see that movie and I wanted to have that historical context of it. And oh my God, the like sexual assault that is depicted in that movie.
Yeah.
Which might be 70s. I can't remember exactly, but that sort of bleed over from late 70s to 80s where sexual assault on women
mm-hmm.
is just par for the course.
Well, you know, I read a science fiction series that was time travel and written by this woman, Cage Baker, from San Luis Obispo. She was from here. I believe she moved up to San Luis Obispo. Too much info. Here's the thing. Cage Baker, with a K, Cage.
Cool.
She, as we go into the future, she is so clearly angry at sort of the whitewashing that is happening. She's like, Yes, there was sexual abuse in a lot of the movies. A lot of the movies are terrible. A lot of the movies depict things as normal that are not normal. But that's what the movie was. So you're going to have to, she's like, as we go more and more into the future, they start fixing the movies.
Uh-huh.
Like they're getting rid of it. Like colorization.
Yeah.
Where they get rid of all the smoking.
Mm-hmm.
They get rid of all the drinking. And they get rid of all the all inappropriate sexual activity.
Yeah.
And she's like, and it's depicted in this company series as clearly people have lost their minds.
Right.
It is a movie. You should, sure, you want to notice that that is not cool? That's fine.
Yes.
But please let the movie just be the movie.
It just has to
Casablanca,
stay. Right.
Nazis are bad guys. It's the way it goes. It's, yeah. You can't fix Nazis.
Right.
Historically, this is what they were doing.
That's an interesting take on time travel. That you're time traveling and then also time traveling by going back and fixing movies and changing the past, and then which then affects the future.
Right.
Like what you're seeing, because then you're getting rid of so much.
It's her time travel. You might actually, that's right. You might actually like this
series.
I probably
dig it. It sounds pretty good.
It's pretty great. And the writing is excellent. The historical context. It's the first book takes place in Spain during the Inquisition and Queen Elizabeth times, I think.
Okay.
That's what they're called.
Sure.
Technically, Queen Elizabeth times.
Yeah.
And
Queenie times.
Yeah. You know, ease up there.
Yeah.
And, but it goes forward up till, and at one point they're going back in time and they're in 1997 and they don't go back and essentially it's TCM. It's essentially colorization. They don't go back in time and change the movies.
Mm-hmm.
They go back, they change the movies as we go forward. So like in the 2020s, they're like, oh, it's not okay that people smoke. It's not okay that people do anything. You can't hug your kids in public. So we're going to fix them. They essentially retcon the whole thing.
Sure.
They just whitewash the deal. But in one of the books, they go back in time because they're in 2050 or something like that. And they go back in time to 1997 and they go into a grocery store and they're like, oh my God, we could buy anything. Chocolate, booze. Meat?
Yeah.
This is happening.
Right.
And they lose their minds. And it's just, they do 6 grocery carts to take, to put into their time machine.
Yeah.
And, which is a yacht.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. And so, yeah, I think you would really like it.
Yeah. It sounds like I would super dig it. I love time travel.
Okay. Yeah. I usually have a hard time with time travel. So it's interesting to me that Back to the Future built that 1955 set first.
Yeah.
That's a really good idea.
It's a super good idea. I just love that, like, actually, going through the time that way.
Yeah.
You know, like having it set up and then aging it appropriately, I guess. It's because it's kind of like taking the people. It's like the reverse of the people.
Yeah.
Because they're old at first and then they're young again.
Yeah. Yeah. I would say this now. I think that we have spent the correct amount of time discussing the great first film.
The great first film.
Let's spend the last 10 minutes discussing the last two.
Sounds good.
Talk to me briefly about why those are rewatchable.
The second one specifically.
Is that in the future or is that the Western?
That's the future one. 3 is the Western one. Which is basically the reason I do like 3 is because they gave an entire movie to Christopher Lloyd, which I thought was sweet. Yeah. You know, like he spent all this time playing this crazy guy. It's adorable that they gave him a whole movie, which trivia, sorry to jump ahead to the third one, but sorry to time travel ahead to the first one. Or the third one. It is actually the first on-screen kiss that Christopher Lloyd had.
Really?
Yes.
He had not gotten to make out with anybody in his long career.
He had no kiss on Cheers, none on Taxi, nothing.
Huh.
And any of Adam's Family, I think.
It was maybe the Adam's Family?
He was Uncle Fester in the Adam's Family.
What?
Yeah.
I do not recall that.
I kind of forgot about it too, and it was on Netflix, and I was like, I'm going to watch this weird movie. Actually, very funny. Pretty good.
The TV
good.
Show?
Yeah, the movie.
Oh, the Addams Family movie.
With Raul Julia and Angelica Houston. And
let me tell you something about that
movie. Oh, God, who plays Wednesday? What's her name? She's in everything. God, I can't think of her name now.
Zooey Deschanel.
No.
No, I have no idea. The 1990s version of Zooey Deschanel.
God, yes. She was in... God damn it. I can't believe I can't think of her
Someone's
name.
Someone's yelling at them.
Everybody's
right
going to be yelling at me right now. That's fine. I totally understand.
At Rhea Butcher on Twitter.
Yeah, please yell at me.
Yell at you.
It'll come to me at the very end, and I'll just yell it out, and then it'll be the end of the podcast. But the reason I like 2 is because 2 was actually, their first script for it was they were going to go back to the 60s when George and Lorraine were in college. And they were going to be like flower children. And they just couldn't make it work.
That's weary.
It's very weary. And it would be bad to go back, you know, again immediately. So the brilliance of 2 is that they somehow figured out a way.
I love those words.
To give you... the movie you already loved, again, from a slightly different perspective.
Right, because now they're double to double.
Yes, and I believe it was Carl Sagan who said, this is the best time travel movie that's ever been made. 2.
Back to the Future 2,
Back
Carl
to the Future
Sagan.
2. I you believe it was Carl Sagan that said that it was the best time travel movie he's seen. Because it is not just like a one-to-one. You know, in the first one, we have 1985 Prime, Marty Prime, who goes back to 1955. So then you have 1955 Prime, which is unaffected and led to the first 1985. Then you have the one that he goes back. Then he makes a new 1985, from which he then travels to the future. So then in the second one, he travels to the future, which has been affected by Doc going there. So that future, there was a future that we've never seen. Then we don't see the one that... You know, we don't see the one that Doc goes to. Then Doc finds out this information, comes back to that new 1985, tells Marty that he and Jennifer have to go to the future. So they go to a slightly affected, slightly different 2015, which all of your memes are incorrect, by the way. If you ever get that meme that says, this is the day that Doc... No.
Yeah.
Nobody knows what day Doc traveled to in the future from the first one. No one knows. He never says. He just says 30 years in the future. Marty, however, travels to October 21st, 2015. So until that day, your meme is incorrect. Because they went back the day before the crime happens that they need to stop Marty McFly Jr. from participating in and ruining his life and everyone around him.
Right.
So, but back to the timelines. Then in the second one, they go to 2015. Biff gets the almanac. He goes back to 1955, and he goes back to a period that's already been affected.
Mm-hmm.
So he goes back after Marty has been there.
Right.
Because Biff is getting his car fixed.
Right.
So if he wasn't getting his car fixed, then it would have been the original 1955.
Right.
Or a different timeline. But he goes back, affects the future. Then they go back to 1985 from 2015, thinking everything is fine. They go back to a third 1985.
Wow.
So this is why, because I've only gone that far into it.
Right.
That it's a fantastic time travel movie, because it sets up a bunch of different timelines.
Like 6 different possible pasts, futures, and presents.
Right.
Weird.
And so you get to see Biff's vision of 1985, which is just gambling and toxic waste and everybody being murdered, and it's horrible.
Right.
Plastic surgery.
It mattered. Oh, so realistic.
Very realistic.
So it mattered to that starfish.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's a lot of... it was so busy.
And
I think
that
the only way to like it would be to watch it 100 times.
It is. And I think that, like, when I was so excited for it when I was a kid. Like, so excited for 2 to come out, because I got to see it in the theater.
Right.
I was old enough for it. And
what's your favorite scene in that one?
Well, in the second one, I think that as an adult, one of my favorite scenes is Biff and Marty talking to each other in the casino, because it's imbibed with a lot of pop culture, but then also just like, it's a duel, you know, it's like a talking duel, mm-hmm. which there wasn't that much gravitas in the first one, you know, and it's nice to see those two guys get to act with each other.
Yeah.
And then it's very goofy. I like Marty showing up, you know, Doc being like, buy something inconspicuous for clothes. And then he shows up with like a black fedora and a leather jacket because he gets to experience 1955 again.
Mm-hmm.
And I love how he's like, everybody's keeps saying there's something else very familiar about all this. But my least favorite part of that movie is that they had to give Marty this stupid chicken complex, this dumb thing that
right.
comes out of nowhere that
right.
they feel that they had to put it in there for the plot to move forward. And like, it just, it's very clunky, and mm-hmm. it's always felt very clunky because he is such a nice guy in the first
yeah.
one. He's such a like, he's not a perfect kid.
Right. But he's
like
kind of
poor, but he's like normal. He's mm-hmm. like, he's not like, he doesn't fight anybody. He just protects people. He's trying to do the right thing.
Yeah. He
so
spends
it feels weird for him to then be like, nobody calls me chicken. Like
right.
what? Why? When? That, when
that
all
did,
of a sudden did
that
you,
did come out of.
It's very weird.
Yeah. What are the lines? I don't even remember the duel in the casino. What are the lines in that one? Do you
well,
remember
he shows up and Biff is.
Is this 2015?
This is the
in
tangential
the
1985
that where Biff is the winner.
It's been affected by the almanac, so he goes to talk to Biff because he knows he has the almanac. So Biff is like, because he shows up, Biff is in a hot tub with a bunch of women watching.
Of course he is.
He's watching whichever Clint Eastwood movie then affects the third one, which is great because then Marty sees the bulletproof vest gag.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then he does
might
the
might be the good, bad, and the ugly. Or
yes,
it might be the town one.
The, like,
anyway.
Stove front.
Yeah, it's the
so
town
he sees
one.
That, and then it shows up later in the third one, which is great, planting
mm-hmm.
that from movie to movie, which is cute. And then he says Gray Sports Almanac, so then Biff gets out of the hot tub because he knows it's serious. And they're just, I can't remember the actual, like, a ton of the conversation, but Biff is like, this crazy old codger with a cane shows up, tells me he's my distant relative. I don't see any resemblance, which is hilarious because it's him. And I love that Biff is dumb until he's in 2015. Like, Biff in 2015 is smart.
Right.
Like,
he's
lived enough.
Everything.
And he's been beaten down enough because he,
right.
like, changed. It's also a little discordant because in the end of the first one, Biff is like, nice.
Yeah.
Because he comes in with the books and he's like, look, Marty, look, George, you know, your book finally arrived.
Oh, right.
Look, whatever. And, but then in the second one, they sort of reverse that
mm-hmm.
and they show him outside of that scene and he's actually angry about it.
Right.
He's not happy. So
right.
then when they go to the future, he's not happy. His grandson, Griff, has a couple
Griff.
Wires, not whatever, in his brain implants or something.
I didn't remember Griff.
Yeah, Griff is great. Mm-hmm. He was supposed to have a different name. But anyway, his bat is like Ken Griffey III or something like that.
Okay.
Like, I love all those little tiny things. Oh, his hoverboard was supposed to be called the Mad Dog,
mm-hmm.
which is what... oh my God, now I can't think of his name. Mad Dog Tannen in the third one is
okay.
his nickname, Mad Dog
oh,
Tannen,
right,
because
right.
he just goes crazy, which I love Thomas F. Wilson in the third one. He's like the best part of it.
Okay.
His like cowboy that he
oh,
does.
Oh, the cowboy, yeah.
Real jangly cowboy that he does. Is he's filthy. He has that great facial hair.
Yeah.
Which I met him.
Oh, you got to, because he does stand-up.
Yeah, and he did our show.
Mm-hmm.
Cameron like surprised me that he was going to be on it and then had me like interview him. And I was trying to be cool because, you know, what you're like
you
trying
to be a jerk.
Not at all. And I know he doesn't like talking about the movie because I'm a big enough fan to know you don't talk to him about the movie.
Right.
You talk to him about him.
Right.
That's what you do.
Yeah.
And so I was like playing it super cool. But then he did his set and he does lines from the movie. He does lines from the movie in his set. He does other people's lines. But he also does some of his lines.
Right.
And I was watching on the side of the stage just having like the craziest reaction because like to hear that person that you've
yeah.
seen. And then I was like, as close as we are interviewing mm-hmm. him, and I like couldn't hear what he was saying.
Right.
Because I just was like,
could have been anything.
I've looked at your face my entire life, and I think you're so great. I didn't say any of this.
Any
but
of that.
I just said at the
you
end, I was like,
say it.
I'm a huge fan of all your stuff. I
right.
just love it. And thank you so much for talking
and
to me.
And that's all anybody wants to hear.
Yes.
And like the woman, I got to meet the woman who played the secretary on Moonlighting.
Oh, yeah. Who was that?
Whose name I've forgotten.
Sure.
And, Yep. Look it up. Sorry. Send it to me.
I feel like it would be Annie Potts. It's not Annie Potts.
It's not Annie Potts, but she's a tall, and she was just at a stand-up show, and she was friends with the guys who were running it, and so she was doing a sketch with one of the guys who was running it. Mm-hmm. And I was looking at her, I was like, oh my God, that's the woman. And I loved Moonlighting.
Yeah.
And I love Moonlighting too. It was a super fun show. Great and she show. Was very hilarious. And she went out with Booger. Essentially, that was her boyfriend. On the show.
Oh, okay.
And his name wasn't Booger, but he was called Booger, I think.
He lives
in a
like
TV
right up the
show.
Street from me.
Oh, does he?
Yeah.
And, so when I came up to her, I was like, how weird is this that I would like a photo with you? And
she was
like,
into it?
Totally.
She
was like,
great.
No, I appreciate it. And I said, okay, good. And I tried to keep it sane.
Sure. Yeah. And just keep it chill. Cause like, you have to keep in mind, like,
they're people.
You're not the first person that day or ever that said that same thing.
Right.
You know, like, and it is annoying to hear the same thing from people over and over. You know, like,
right.
Hey, butthead. Like, I would get so sick of hearing that if that was what somebody said to me every time
every
they talked
day.
To me.
Yeah.
And I totally get it. I totally understand why he's not into it.
Yeah.
And even somebody asked him in the green room, and I should have been like, go, get away.
Stop,
this guy
stop.
Was like,
I'd like to
hey,
protect
do you want
to
come do Back to the Future? But, and he was so gracious about it. Huh. The guy wouldn't stop. And he was like, I don't want to talk about this anymore.
Yeah.
And I was like, good for you. He was like, Leah is very into this stuff. And Claudia, that played the original Jennifer.
Okay.
He was like, reach out to them. They'll likely do it. But I don't do this stuff.
Right. Right. Like, he's somewhat trying to move on with his life. And also, knowing that he sort of has to do it if he wants the money.
Sure.
Right.
Yeah.
So he's got that. I mean, it's his own diet. You know, it's his own time travel issue, man.
Yeah, man. He's always going back to 1984 whenever they filmed it.
Right. And so we're at an hour. Let's talk. You would recommend people see this film.
Absolutely. All three.
Back to back.
Three is hard. But I love watching them back to back because then you see those like reward, those payoff setups and payoffs.
Okay.
So it's so much easier because you're like, you just saw, you know, the skateboard scene. And then you see like every time they do it in each one, it's just so great, you know, and then the lines repeat. And then there's something very familiar about all this. It's just so great. I love it. I highly recommend. And especially if you can get your hands on the 25th anniversary Blu-rays.
Yeah.
They have really great special features with, you know, like the storyboarding and great commentary with.
There's good commentary.
Great commentary, great setups and payoffs. So many great special features in it that I highly recommend it.
Well, we have serious. Oh, no, you should come with something else. And I'm like, no, it'll be fine.
Nope, I got it. I mean, I could talk about these for probably 2 more hours.
Right. We got 2 more hours because we mostly talked about the first one.
We really just talked about the first one.
There'll be another day, Rhea Butcher.
Yeah, there will be.
Ladies and gentlemen, Rhea Butcher on Twitter, on Instagram, on the internet. Live talking out of her joke hole, doing stand-up comedy. Plus, put your hands together and wham, bam, pow. What is it?
On Max Fun.
And on Max Fun.
Yeah.
So I'm Jackie Cation. You're listening to The Dork Forest. Be good to each other out there. Take care. Bye.
My hat. They're dancing around my hat. My hat. Well, what do you think of that? If it looks like a Mexican hat dance and it sounds like a Mexican hat dance, it's most likely a Mexican hat dance. So take off your hat and let's dance.
Yay! Oh my God. Why don't we just call that as the end of the show?